Stadium Swim at Circa Las Vegas. It's Cofield and Company.
All right, here we go on a Wednesday, Thursday, 4th of July. We'll have off, and then we're back on Friday. Of course, the only reason we're off, sure, honoring the day, but even bigger, the hot dog eating contest. The hot dog eating contest. Lots to talk about the Nathan's hot dog eating contest. We'll give him that one pop. I'm not happy with this whole sponsorship thing and Chestnut being out. We'll get to what Chestnut is doing in a little bit. He's got an event going on. We're very juiced up about this one. And remember, that's midday our time. And I'll have the latest odds update. I think our interview yesterday, I'm guessing tens of thousands of people saw it today or listened to it today with Nick Weary, who was the third choice on the board. Odds have moved. Also, the favorite has changed at some books. So a lot to break down. It's no longer a contest of Chestnut minus 16 dogs from first to second. So we got a real competition here. Want to remind you, summer fun is going on right now. We give away 8 trips in 8 weeks. You send in the code word of the day. It's brought to you by Planet Nissan. This week's trip is a Vegas staycation worth upwards of $3,000. September, awesome hotel, spending cash, tickets to a sporting event or a mega concert. Show tickets. And spending cash. That's pretty good. You got to text it in. 702-364-1100. 702-364-1100. Code word of the day. That is our text line. Sand. Sand is the code word of the day. So we're going to talk a little hoops because today the news came down that LeBron James has just about agreed to what he's going to do. It's going to be a 2-year deal with an option on the back end. 2 years, $104 million. I got to tell you, folks, on the money stuff of the NBA, I don't care. I know it's splashy. I don't care. I know other people care. You know, there's a jealous sect out there when they see deals like Jason Tatum or I don't know what Tatum's making, 60-something million. Derek White in, like, the 40s. Isaiah Hartenstein making $29 million a year. They split revenues. And if hockey fans are mad, be mad at Gary Bettman. He kind of sucks. Your sport has grown decently, but not enough. If you're an NFL player, I mean, I guess lobby to cut 20 jobs off the roster and you'll get a bigger cut, but it's a $240 million payroll. Quarterbacks get good ones, get $45 to $55 million. The rest is the rest. Your players' union isn't strong enough to get no-cut contracts or guaranteed contracts. Be mad at your players' union. Be mad at the owners. Don't be mad at the NBA players. But, you know, LeBron signing for a big number is one thing. It's the growing LeBron, I'm not even going to say that we all know the dislike is not new. We know there's a lot of people out there for various reasons who don't like LeBron James. But my God, the last 10 days or so between drafting Bronny and he just signed an NBA deal, which we'll break that down a little bit, what that means with Curtis Terry, whose brother Jason played in the NBA for a long time. And I'm sure Curtis would have liked to play in the NBA, played internationally, played professional basketball. I'm sure those who have to grind and claw to get to the end of the bench on an NBA team, they have a right to be a little bit sassed. But between the Bronny drafting and then a few free agents, and by the way, this free agent market wasn't full of saviors. Like, people are flipping out about the Lakers not getting big-name free agents. They're old free agents. I mean, I said it last week, I'd rather see the Lakers with the money they have to spend and the cap room they can create and the players and picks they can trade. I'd rather see them get a fuller supporting cast. I mean, look at the teams that just have won the last couple of years. Yeah, they have a couple of big-name players on the team. I would say on Denver 2 years ago, they have one big-name player in Jokic. Jamal Murray's a clown. and a low character guy, and he might make a lot of money, but he's not to be relied upon. You watch how that works out down the road. I hope it works out coming up, because I'm going to have some bets on Denver, because I think Denver is getting slept on big time. But there's not a big three technically on the Nuggets. There's not really a big three on the Celtics. And by the way, they got both guys in house. This, you know, Tatum and Brown. I think the era of the big three, and then a lot in the supporting or a supporting cast that has some good players, but a really thin bench. I think that era is over. So I don't know why Laker haters are laughing at the Lakers. I would let the process finish, just like I would let the Vegas Golden Knight process finish. We do this all the time, and I don't mean we do, but we do this all the time with free agency. Maybe not so much in baseball, because baseball owners are very selective in who they're sending the money out to, or, you know, code word, have colluded. But they basically made a decision. A couple of guys are going to get big money, and then their whole middle class of free agency. But the other big sports, football people freak out at the beginning. Raiders made a big splash with Christian Wilkins. Did they have a good offseason? I think it was solid. I love the quarterback situation. Unless the grand plan is to be okay and then eventually draft a quarterback for the future, that's probably a good plan. But a few big-name players sign elsewhere, and it's like the sky has fallen, and it's all LeBron's fault. No one wants to play with him! Relax. Believe me, I can sit here, and we'll probably do it a couple times this hour. I will make a case for the guy that no one wants to play with is actually Draymond Green, and that's why one of the reasons GSW is kind of falling apart here, because the management made a decision to sign Draymond to an extension. Meanwhile, for whatever reason, and I think there's many more that are coming out now beyond the surface stuff with Clay, but Clay Thompson didn't get his money. He's pissed. I don't know if he's pissed at Draymond getting his money. I don't know if it's other players getting their money, but relax. My God. And I will admit, I'm a LeBron defender, but it's not this unconditional love. I see his faults, but holy moly. So, news came out yesterday. VGK schedule is out. Return dates for some of the players who are gone via free agency or got traded. Stevie's back in town, Chandler Stephenson. He signed a 7-year deal. That's on December 21st. Will Carrier is back on November 11th. Logan Thompson, we'll see if he gets a start. Who knows? November 17th. Alec Martinez. All the way into March. By the way, I forgot Amadio is the first one who comes back, October 25th. And then Marshy is not back here with the Preds, with Stamkos, until April 12th. So that angst will be building. And, woo, Golden Knights better have a good season. Otherwise, when Marshy still gets here, and if the Preds are killing it, and he's here on April 12th, and people are all bitter already, you know, keeping it in the vault about Marshy so moving on, they're going to be pissed if the Preds are really good and VGK is just kind of average. I thought it was really interesting on Marcisseau this morning, talking to some media people, and Vince Sapienza sent this out again about what the Knights did to keep Marcisseau. Marcisseau said, on coming to a deal, I don't think it was close. I think it was intriguing, the concept they were offering, but I wasn't interested in that. So Adam Hill will be by in a little bit, and we'll see if he knows what the concept is. So a couple minutes ago, I mentioned hot dog eating contest tomorrow. They've got one here at Circle Las Vegas. We're set up at Stadium Swim. They've got weenies and bikinis. I don't know if this one's going to push beyond 10 dogs eaten. I don't think we care. Unless there's some ringer in a bikini. I don't know if it's set up to have a ringer. And by the way, the prize for this is $5,000. Total prize money is $5,000. The biggie is in Coney Island. It's tomorrow. We get to see it at noon. The women go at 10:45. Mickey Sudo, former local, she'll be in that one. She's a big favorite. The odds board has changed a little bit. Jeffrey Esper was the favorite. Yep, you can bet all this. By the way, people are going crazy in the markets for this, where you can get it. You can't bet it here in town, because this is competitive. Finally, it's not just, hey, is Chestnut going to go over under on the total dogs? How much is he going to win by? We had Nick Weary on yesterday, who's right in the middle of the top five. He said the top of the contest could be anywhere between, well, he thought it was going to push into the 50s. And he said you could have 1 through 6 separated by like 6-7 hot dogs. So James Webb and Aussie, he's now the favorite at minus 110. Jeffrey Esper was the favorite at minus 120. He's plus 150. Weary, we brought him our stardom, although he also appeared on TV in New York. I'm guessing that the ABC 7 spot in New York helped his cause. Came off as very likable with Mickey, who came off as incredibly likable. Where he's at, plus 350. So more updates on the hot dog eating contest. I thought there was something in the interview yesterday that should affect the odds, so we'll get to that. Let's do a prize here, and then we're going to get to Curtis Terry and break down all this NBA stuff. 364-1100, 364-1100. Comedian Theo Von, the return of the Rat Tour. You can get your tickets at AXS.com. He's at Resorts World. Two tickets going out right now. Griffin's got all the details. Caller 7, Theo Von, 364-1100, caller 7.
And the people that I meet, the children in the playground, the faces that I see, all races and religions, that's America to me.
Right? Right? I think the Vast Sound Crew picked out a bunch of Independence Day themed songs. Good job there. We have a bunch in the vault. That is one of my favorites. Of course, Frank Sinatra. That was actually at MSG in 1974. But Sinatra's song, that's what America is about to me. Actually, the house where I live. But really good song, really cool. And if you listen to the words, we only played about 20 seconds of it. It's good stuff. It's good stuff. Even Mateo gave it a little bit of nod. He's like, where is this going with Sinatra? Yep, that's where it went. Let's get out to the phones. Curtis Terry is up with us. We got a lot of NBA to break down. A little bit of UNLV tied to the Summer League. What's going on, CT?
Not much, man. I think old Blue Eyes a little bit before my time, though.
Well, but you know what? He's before my time, really. But I like to go back and reminisce. And I hadn't heard that song in like 10 years ago. And then when I saw him do it and I heard it, I was like, damn, that's good. That's pretty poignant for these times, especially. So what are you up to? Are you back in town? You still in the Pacific Northwest?
In the Pacific Northwest. Still enjoying some cooler weather. And enjoy the holiday here, though. But then I'll be back down there because obviously Summer League's coming to town and things are starting to get busy. So
this is not a show that complains about the weather ever, because I've been here forever. And I've adjusted to it. I don't need humidity. Dude, when you get back, I don't know what it's going to be like, but it's crazy right now. We're talking Monday might be the highest temperature ever for a day in Vegas. We might be moving into the 120s the rest of this week. It's going to be like 115. So I definitely have the moob sweat, but I'm kind of liking it. But I'm very jealous. I've told this before. I'm very jealous of your 68-degree weather up there.
Yeah, no, I think we're going to hit 80 here this weekend, so we're nice, but definitely nothing compared to the 115, 120 you guys are getting. Forward to it.
It's crazy, though. You can tell people that, 110 here is not great, but the AC is set up at most places. It's not going to die on you, hopefully. You know, I don't want my house to die, but up there, when it gets in the 80s, Curtis, up there, like, people don't have air conditioning. Like, freaking 80s and forget the 90s, man. It's sweltering when it's like that.
Yeah, you got to plan it out. Accordingly, but you definitely aren't going to find anywhere with any air conditioning up here most places.
All right, a lot of people, speaking of heat, are hot under the collar with LeBron James. I think this is such a carryover from just this growing dislike of LeBron, and I want to get to the drafting of Bronny and the signing of Bronny, but I think people are so teed up to go after LeBron. You know, there was word that, hey, he was going to be flexible. He could take a deal that was less than the max if things worked out, where it's going to help money-wise. That can still happen. News comes down today that he's just about going to take the max for 2 years. 2 years and $104 million. When you look at this, are you mad? Do you think LeBron's being selfish? Is he restricting what they can add to this team?
No, I don't. I mean, I think it comes down to there's just not many other guys out there that they're going to get that can really kind of move the needle for them for what they need. And I think when he goes out there and says he might just take a one-year deal or a two-year deal and take half of what he can get to leave some money on the table for someone else for flexibility – I wholeheartedly believe that. I think it just came down to there wasn't guys willing to jump in with both feet with what they've got going in L.A. right now. And then when it comes to that, then he might as well go out and basically get that two-year max. But they're going to have to get creative, to be able to add some pieces to their roster to give them some confidence to be able that they got a chance this year. Just because the health with LeBron getting older, but then Anthony Davis just – kind of habitually being hurt aside from this past year is something that's probably going to always be in the back of the minds of LA Lakers fans.
What do you think it is? What do you think it is with LeBron that just angers people so much? It just seems, and maybe I'm in a bubble. Maybe I just follow a lot of people who are LeBron haters, and LeBron lovers don't really step up to defend him. What do you think it is? You're not a Laker fan. I don't think you're a LeBron lover, but why is it getting so intense of late?
It's hard. It's interesting, though. I think, I mean, obviously with some of it, with Bronny getting drafted, I think you can, I don't know if you're going to find many people aside from Rob Pelinka and J.J. Redick who say that he deserved this, and he earned it based on just what his stat line was. I'm not saying he's not going to pan out to be a quality NBA player. I just don't see it right now like a lot of people. I think it's just the way that, and it's kind of been known and documented that he kind of maneuvers things and impacts and influences things to his liking, whether that's in free agency, whether that's with coaching, whether that's with getting Bronny drafted. And it's understandable. So when you have that kind of power, you can do those types of things. I just think that people maybe to this degree are maybe kind of tired of it. And also it's not turning out to a lot of wins for the Lakers as of late. And so I think you could probably be getting a little fed up with it because you're making these power moves or power plays, but you're really not getting the results out of it at the end of the day.
Curtis Terry's with us. He's one of the voices of the Running Rebels, played for UNLV, played a lot of professional basketball. Your brother played a long time in the NBA. So while I'm not – don't take this the wrong way. Everyone out there who's like, nepotism, LeBron, with Bronny, this is bull crap, it's not fair. Like, those of you out there had no chance to make the NBA, okay? Jason Terry did. Curtis wanted to. So you guys have a unique perspective on this. When you look at Bronny and – he's not getting 55th pick money. He's getting about three years and about $6 million guaranteed with a fourth as an option. Does it piss you off after you went and, you know, played and tried to make the league?
Oh, no, I'm not pissed off. I think it's good for him. I'm always for the players. I just, for the guys right now that don't get drafted and that had successful college careers, I would be pissed off if I was them because clearly I think there's a lot of guys that are better players in this situation. And I just look at it to 2 years ago, Kennedy Chandler, the point guard that came out of Tennessee, was a freshman, was second team all SEC, was SEC tournament MVP, led them to the second round, I think, of the NCAA tournament. He had came out, and at that time, he had got the largest guaranteed contract for a second round pick, and he was a 38th pick, got $4.4 million guaranteed, and averaged 14 points a game and like 5 assists. So I think when you look at it from those kind of standpoints and guys and their production and their numbers, I think there's probably some guys right now that didn't get drafted. We probably got some UNLV guys the last couple of years that didn't get drafted that had hell of a career that put up lots of numbers that are probably, you know what I mean, feeling a certain way about it. But again, good for Bronny to be able to take advantage of that situation. But at the same time, you got to give LeBron credit for putting his son on, putting his people on, especially when he's got that kind of power, you can do so. But I think some of those other guys are probably going to feel a way about it, and he's probably going to have a big target on his back as Bronny, whether it's his time in the NBA or in the G League with the South Bay Lakers.
Good segue without even knowing where I was going, because there are three, at least to my knowledge, three former UNLV players who are going to be part of the Summer League. Justin Webster with the Mavs, David Mwoka has made his way to the Nets. I'll bring up this guy who I know right now is better than Bronny and could be sour about it, and we're going to try to get him on. I don't know if he'll say he's sour about it, but I think EJ Harkless is a pretty high-level professional basketball player, and he could probably help someone in the NBA, but he is going to have to take the hard road.
Yeah, I mean, you look at him, like EJ Harkless, even Donovan Williams a couple years ago, Bryce Hamilton, another guy that's kind of within that Lakers organization and with EJ with the Clippers. I mean, but those are guys that you say that came out and went 4 years of college and put up huge numbers and weren't able to get drafted and still haven't had that cup of coffee yet in the NBA. And so I think it's from that standpoint, that's where you're going to get guys to get some of that animosity, because when you're just lining them up and checking ball, I know who I'm going to pick, and I think I know who most of those guys are going to pick. Not just on their numbers, but then on size and skill set as of right now. Now, what can Bronny become? Who knows? And I think he's in a good position now to be able to come up with something, but it's definitely all on him now because they've given him put him in a position to have the opportunity to capitalize on it.
Michael Thompson ain't happy with Clay, but you know he said, hey, I want him to play for the Lakers. He's a grown man. It's his decision. Why do you think Clay Thompson was like, yeah, you know what? I'm not going home. I'm not going to join the Lakers. I'm going to join the Mavs.
I just think it's a better situation right now. I mean, obviously, I think when you look at what the Lakers, what the Mavericks did this past season, going to the NBA Finals. Luka's a top five player in the NBA. Kyrie, the season that he had, and kind of resurrecting his career and getting focused back on basketball and putting up big numbers. And the Mavericks are an up and coming team with PJ Washington, Daniel Gafford. Obviously, they lose Derrick Jones Jr. in free agency, but I think when you add Klay Thompson and the things that they struggled on with the Mavs, they lived by it and died by it. was the three-point ball, and they just didn't hit enough of him in the finals. I think you add a guy like that who he doesn't have to – he can do even less in terms of just creating. He can play even less defense now, but just stand there and catch and shoot. He's one of the best that's ever done it, so I think it's a good spot for him, and just based on the uncertainty of the Lakers. But also you take into consideration the taxes. In the tax situation when you go to Texas – kind of similar like to being in Nevada, it's going to make an impact on that final check that you receive at the end of the day.
What do you think is the biggest reason Clay left Golden State? Or could it simply be the rationale that, hey, you know what, the Warriors just are not going to win a championship? It seems like there's a lot more going on here, hurt feelings.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of interesting because there's a lot of things that are floating around. I mean, obviously there's rumors that when he came back and they won that championship in 2022 and Draymond got his extension that he thought he should have gotten one, and you probably should have gave him one just that by doing the right thing for what they've done for the last couple of years or the last decade or so for the Warriors. Him not getting that and then kind of feeling disrespected, but then the reports of that is his representation presented a couple offers and essentially the Warriors told him to wait until some other deals were done. Just not feeling valued, it seems like. Was that kind of situation, but then also you probably see the writing on the wall that team and that dynasty is kind of disintegrated, and he's not going to have that as much of a good chance to be successful. Also, when they're bringing Brandon Podziemski in and wanting to play him more, starting him and bringing Clay off the bench, and it seems like Clay was just he was ready to move on, and I think he probably landed in the better spot between staying with the Warriors or moving on. I think the Warriors are going to be in a tough spot. They've made some moves, but I just don't think it's the moves to get them in contention for that championship, which they're trying to chase with Steph, still trying to finish out his career.
CT, I was ranting a little bit early in the show saying Lakers fans and a lot of NBA watchers who insist on believing that you need a big three to win a championship, or I think they're wrong. And I think Philly's wrong. I don't love that Philly went out and got Paul George. I don't think he's a match for the market. I don't think he's going to play enough games. I just don't know that he has the dog in him. He's a very good player, but I think he would have been much better off and probably happier going to, like, Orlando or somewhere kind of mid-level that's a 40-something win team. What do you think? Is he a match to Philadelphia? Can they win the East with him?
I think I actually like the move. Remember, we talked about this back in the fall about how when James Harden was getting shipped out of there, were they going to have enough? And they obviously needed someone like James Harden, another scorer, another guy to kind of take some of that pressure off Maxey and Embiid. But I think with the year that Paul George had, I mean, obviously he's had some health issues here and there the last few years. But, I mean, this past year he shot, I think, his highest field goal percentage that he's had in his career. And he was efficient and effectively putting the ball in the basket. And they need someone to take some of that pressure off to not just get the ball to Embiid, but then take some of that playmaking, that off-the-bounce attack, take that off of Maxey's shoulders. And I think they've got now a nice three-headed attack with Maxey at the point. On the wing, you got PG-13. But then also you got Embiid down below. So now the big thing for them is going to be health, as with every team. But if they're healthy, I think they've got just as good of a shot to knock off the Celtics, who are obviously going to be the presumptive favorite going into next year to win it all again. But I like what they did. And I think it's a timing move for them. Right now the window is going to be there. And if it works, it's going to work in these next 2 to 3 years. And if it doesn't, then they're probably going to move on from Embiid as is. And let Maxey kind of be the team and kind of retool around him.
Curtis, with the holiday coming up, what do you like more, hot dogs or fireworks?
Oh, shoot, I got to pick one. Man, I'm going to go with the hot dogs.
Yeah!
Obviously. But if you eat too many hot dogs, you can't enjoy the fireworks, so you'll probably be comatose. So I got to try to find that good balance, but definitely want to see some good fireworks here this weekend.
I have trouble with the balance. I've always had trouble with that balance.
Don't we all?
Yes. All right, Curtis, I appreciate you stepping up a little late in the day. Thank you so much.
No problem, guys. Happy 4th of July.
There he is, Curtis Terry. Coming up, all UNLV Analyst Hour. We're about 10 minutes away from Caleb Herring talking a little football and also talking about the Clay snubbing the Lakers, leaving GSW. And man, oh man, he's got Dr. Draymond Green, the kinesiologist, right in the crosshairs.
Burn my flag, and I have a right to kick your ass.
All right, happy 4th. There you go. Keep it going. Little Frank, little Creed Fisher. There you go. Good allegiance there to the Confederacy. We appreciate that. Caleb Herring's coming up here in about 7 minutes. I got a giveaway in just a second, some boxing at the Palms. Reminder, Weenies and Bikinis tomorrow, the big hot dog contest for 10K plus on Coney Island goes down tomorrow on ESPN. We'll have a full breakdown of the change in odds in about an hour and 15. And then in the afternoon, you can come out here, Stadium Swim, 5 to 7. Bikini, hot dog eating contest. I like that they list 143-foot screen. Does that mean we're going to see it on the 143-foot screen? But we're also going to see it in person. DJs, fireworks at night. Fireworks shows down here are tremendous. Fireworks in Vegas are tremendous. And that's a tough one. I asked Curtis Terry going out of that spot, what do you like more, hot dogs or fireworks? Toss up. I couldn't answer it. Obviously, you can get a private cabana here tomorrow. I would get on that now. And anytime during the weekend, it's going to be a great 4th of July weekend. 364-1100, 364-1100 is the number. We got boxing tickets, Palms, July 13th, Unified Middleweight World Championship, Janabek and Mikhailovich going at it, 160 pounds. Ticketmaster.com is where you get your tickets for the boxing at the Palms. It's a top-ranked fight with Janabek and Mikhailovich. Caller 7, 364-1100, 364-1100, caller number 7. I hope we get some more Creed Fisher somewhere during the rest of the show. We've got a good mix of music today. Nice job by the vast sound crew at Lotus Broadcasting. Stadium Swim, Circa Las Vegas. Let's do it. The USA theme songs, why not, right? Independence Day tomorrow. I hope people out there, some of you listening, if you're not in the service industry, that you get some time off here, a couple days off. I don't know what Caleb Herring's schedule is like. Caleb, you have a long weekend or you got to grind it out?
I have to grind it out. I will be working on the holiday as part of my regular scheduled work day. So I will be at work logging in those hours, but I will be headed into my weekend. So 4th of July weekend for me will be an extended one, 4-day weekend. So I will enjoy. I will take some time to enjoy the festivities, fireworks, and get the kiddos involved. So it'll be fun. It'll be fun to celebrate our independence.
Good deal. We had Curtis Terry on. Curtis is a very nice guy. You're a nice guy, but you get a little salty sometimes. And the guy who set you off is one Draymond Green. And I saw something you retweeted the other day. And I was watching this video of Draymond doing his silly podcast where he just sits a foot away from the camera. And I don't know what he's talking about. I think a lot of people out there are like, Draymond, you're the reason that Clay is gone. I don't think he's the sole reason. What was Draymond Green saying about Klay Thompson?
Essentially, he was trying to make Klay Thompson's decision about him. There's a few different portions of the podcast, I guess, where he's talking about the situation, how Klay called he and Steph, or at least that he knew of, and he said, I dropped a couple tears for him, thinking about the good times that they had, and didn't try to convince him to stay or anything like that, but just kind of let him go. But then, as Draymond often does, he made it about himself and goes down this whole story about how, last year I wanted to get traded and I called Steph and I called Steve Kerr and I said, oh, I'm going to Memphis. I want to leave. I want out during my free agency. And it's like, it's not about you. And it's like nobody, that wasn't a headline. A Klay Thompson leaving, a splash brother leaving was a headline. You leaving might not have made the same sort of NBA waves that it did because you don't work anywhere else. Like, you don't add to a championship roster, in my opinion. This is my opinion. This is a lot of people's opinion. Draymond Green outside of Golden State doesn't really do the same thing that he does there. But just taking the opportunity days after, a career-long teammate, a guy that should have retired a Warrior. And that's my opinion. Steph and Klay should have retired in Warriors jerseys. And I think the fact that he's gone, I think it was distasteful at best for Draymond to make it about him in that way. Oh, I was going to get traded. No, it's not about you. Be quiet. Be quiet. Sometimes it's just best to not speak. And I think this is one of those moments for Draymond.
He really is delusional. Let me take you down this path. This one's interesting. I read someone claiming that, because a lot of people are saying, hey, why didn't Steph Curry step up and go to management about Klay Thompson, back him? And then the comeback to that was Klay told Steph to not go to management because he wanted management to do the right thing without Steph having to tell them to do that, which I actually thought about it. I'm like, that doesn't sound like an impossible thought where someone gets so frustrated at the workplace where you're like, no, I don't want your backing. I want management to do the right thing.
Yeah, and I think that's a very legitimate place to come from. And I think
in Clay's shoes, it might have been unrealistic for him to expect that. Just looking at the totality of who he is in his role, what the priorities for this team are with the new direction, and his recent injury history and struggles last season. I'm not saying that Steph, or Clay, rather, doesn't deserve the respect of an organization. I just think that if the organization is trying to piece together a rebuild and capitalizing on the real golden goose of Golden State, which is Steph Curry, who's still, by the way he's playing at an MVP level, he's still very marketable. He's still a guy that you can centerpiece a championship team around. I think he's the only one that would get that respect. And there can only be one at any team. And I think it's Steph Curry that's that guy. So I think this is Clay saying that, if that's true, that Clay told Steph, hey, no, let them make their own, just let them speak their piece. I think kudos to the Warriors from a business standpoint for sticking to their guns when it comes to not giving him the deal that is out of respect and adoration for what he's accomplished. That's an organizational business thing. Now, relationship, personally, I've seen it go the other way, and it's not wrong to go the other way. I think Kobe Bryant got a deal that was his last deal was much more about respect than it was production and winning a championship. It was like, nah, you're Kobe, you've done so much, you mean so much, here you go. I think Clay maybe expected that kind of treatment from Golden State, and he didn't get it, and that's unfortunate. It does suck, but now he finds himself on a championship-contending roster, so I guess he wins out of the deal, and he's getting the money that he won. So hopefully it works out for him, and we'll see what the rebuild for the Warriors looks like.
Klay Thompson doesn't go to the Lakers. He lands with the Mavericks. We were talking earlier this hour, his dad, Michael, disappointed, has been a Laker voice forever, a former Laker as well. And, you know, the kid grew up, he's not a kid, but when he was a kid, he grew up in L.A. He's a kid to me. So the Lakers, outside of LeBron James and Bronny, have really been kind of quiet. I saw Taurean Prince signed elsewhere. Do we need to give them time, or are you starting to feel like a Cowboy fan here where you're expecting some big things and nothing's happening?
This is a Jerry Jones-esque offseason right now. And as a Laker fan, I'm very disappointed. And there were some moves that I was optimistic about that could have contributed to the roster. I think Eric Gordon was a good one who ended up signing elsewhere. Obviously, Klay Thompson would have been massive, I think, a good get for L.A. I think even in a sign and trade for Hardaway from Dallas, who ended up going, I believe, to the Pistons, would have been a great, you know, addition just to get some wing depth, some three-point shooting, and some defenders on the wing. I think there's a lot of people that have already signed elsewhere where it just doesn't feel like anybody's really listening to what's going on in L.A. And I think in part it's the Bronny draft, what's going on with LeBron's contract. He took a max deal where he's getting $160 million over the next 2 years, which is just it takes away any cap space to do anything in free agency. So outside of a trade, there's really not much the Lakers could do in this offseason to make something happen. D'Angelo Russell opted in, so he'd have to get traded. But the roster is pretty much going to be what it was last year, even minus a couple pieces. So we'll see what they can pull off. But this is a very fruitless offseason so far, and the Lakers have definitely turned into the LeBron franchise West. And as a fan of the Lakers, I am very discouraged about what I've seen so far this offseason. The appeal for LA is clearly not there. First time head coach, LeBron James' son on the roster. And I don't care what you say, nepotism, I don't have a problem with nepotism. But as a fan of a team, I want my team to have the best players available. And I don't think Bronny James is one of the best players, at least using draft picks on, of this recent draft. And we'll see what the production looks like for the Lakers. I'm not optimistic at all about this upcoming season.
I think the nepotism thing is hilarious at this point. Being mad at Bronny and LeBron especially, when they're in an organization with a bus kid running the organization and she's not living up to her dad's legacy, a league that is full of, you know, nepo situation. I don't know, man. I just think it's just like unquenchable thirst for people to come up with new ways to dislike one LeBron James. I mean, we're gonna see it. We mentioned the Cowboys. We're gonna see it eventually here in Cowboy Land, right? But it won't be with a player. Stephen Jones, yeah. I don't follow the Cowboys that closely. I know fans, like educated fans, some of my friends who follow him, and they're like, you think Jerry's bad? Steve is going to be worse. Stevie Jones is going to be worse, which brings us to the situation they've gotten themselves in here with Dak Prescott, as you know, camp approaches in like 3 weeks, this is going to be fascinating to follow because it's not only Dak, it's CeeDee Lamb, and it's also Micah Parsons.
Yeah, it's like you've got your three best players are all on the bubble of what they can or are willing to do. Dak's coming up on a contract here. Does he sit out? The quarterback market is not getting cheaper, and Dak Prescott, coming off of an MVP caliber season, has every right to feel like the Cowboys should have jumped to get him re-signed or to get his contract settled before going into the last year of his contract. They didn't, and they've waited. They've also not paid CeeDee Lamb, and you're watching all these other names get paid. The Trevor Lawrence contract moves the needle like even higher. If you're waiting for the market to drop off, it's not happening yet. And Dak Prescott has a lot of bargaining chips in his pocket right now as far as what he can and cannot do. People have talked about him sitting out and opting out or holding out and not playing until he gets his contract settled. I don't think that that's the right course, but to each his own. Imagine, though, if Dak Prescott now comes out this year and for whatever reason has a breakout year again, another MVP caliber season, the Cowboys make a playoff run. His asking price is going to be so astronomical that I think you might have just, you're running a big risk here if you're Jerry Jones of what he could hurt you for next offseason when it's really time to test free agency or whatever. I think for Dak personally, Dallas is the best spot for him. I think being the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys is such a prime spot for earning, right? Like you're the face of the NFL in a lot of ways, even if you're not winning. So I think the Cowboys is the best place for him from a financial aspect. I don't know, though, that the Cowboys really care about winning. You mentioned other contracts that they haven't sold up yet. There's no reason that CeeDee Lamb shouldn't have got his money yet. You know, you got guys like Jefferson getting paid already, and he was off of an injury last year. CeeDee Lamb was arguably the best receiver in the NFL last year, and he proved it. He went out and proved it as a true number one option and proved it. What's the holdup? Why are we not paying him? Yeah. Talk about sitting on your hands all offseason. That's what Jerry Jones has done. And, I mean, like you said, it's not getting any better with his son. His son's going to walk into that role, so we'll see if there's a shift in the mindset. But right now, the Cowboys have done absolutely nothing to take advantage of what I think is a weak NFC East and a very up-for-grabs NFC division, NFC conference as a whole. I don't know that they realize that this is a very good window of opportunity to sew up a team and be consistent and dominant. I don't know that they're really approaching that the way that they should.
Caleb Herring's on Cofield & Company. Hard Knocks last night, HBO, offseason, New York Giants. Fire away.
I really love this concept. I like the offseason version of going with the Giants. I do hate that we already know the kind of big news coming out of their camp with Saquon Barkley and what they do with him, so trying to tease it and spoil it. It is so fascinating, though, to sit back and watch the conversation that happens in those rooms behind those closed doors. Who's making those decisions, who has the final say, what arguments are being made for which side, getting to see the difficulty of making the decision. I think that is awesome. I think for the brand of football, this is speaking, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, this was speaking directly to all the fantasy football craze. This is fans of fantasy football are enjoying the hell out of this because now you're watching, you know, your fantasy teams play out in front of you. Like, this is the Saquon Barkley guy. Evaluating all those running backs, who's going to replace them, the need, the catcher, all that stuff, that's like the back end of football that, like, the analytics guys, the nerds guys, they're having a ball with this stuff. And if that's what we're going to get for this off-season iteration of Hard Knocks, first of all, it gives me more football. Like, the football is becoming a year-round thing, and I'm here for it. So I tuned in immediately on July 2nd. It also gave my wife an angle. My wife can sit and watch this because she's like, oh, that makes sense. Yeah, why would you keep him? He's 27. This guy's 25. Yeah, that's a better deal. What are his stats? Oh, yeah, he's injury prone. My wife doesn't know barely what a first down is, but she's all about the first episode of Hard Knocks, right? So it's like it's a whole different audience, I think, that this episode or this series is speaking to now. And it's got the basis cover for the offseason. I'm all the way here for it.
Adam Hills in Cabana 7 here at Stadium Swim. We got about a minute left, so go ahead, fire away, Adam.
Yeah, I guess, were you surprised? You talked about how much they showed. Were you surprised at how much they showed? Because I kind of was. And do you think other teams are going to say absolutely not going forward as much as they revealed about their conversations?
I think those conversations, because it's already happened, like that stuff is already on the table. The draft's already happened. A lot of the offseason movement had already happened. by the time this gets released. I think that's why people won't have a problem with it. And I did also notice that there was a whole section in the, one of those war rooms where the board was completely blurred out. So whatever was on that board must have been deemed important. So they are making some efforts to filter it. But I was surprised at the amount of information that they were willing to discuss. Like that private conversation was like, oh, he may have just indicated that one of these defensive ends is on the trading market and eligible, and that was the guy they targeted. Like, that's how that happens. That's how transactional that realm of football is, and it's great to see. I was shocked. I'll see how many people in the industry push back against it, but it was great for me to consume, and I'm here for it.
All right, I lied. We have one more minute left. This is very important. Our vast sound crew at Lotus Broadcasting finds some great stuff. I want you to listen to a guy up on TikTok. He lifts weights. He's doing a side-by-side of his calves and how they look and a bigger fella's calves, and he's expressing some frustration here.
We got this picture up here, me who trains legs 3 times a week. The calves are not very big, not very defined. They just kind of look like... And then this one, a 42-year-old Midwest father of three who hasn't seen the inside of the gym since the Cold War. Yet you just walk down the street and see this dude with a big old beer belly, and he's got the biggest calves you have ever seen in your entire life. These dudes are working every second of the day when they're standing up to carry their body around. So honestly, shout out to all the dudes with massive calves out there.
Caleb?
Steve, is he talking about you? What's going on here, man?
The funny thing is, I've thought about this because I've noticed the same thing. I've thought about the fat guy calf principle that I think we're getting calf workouts all the time because we're carrying so much mass up top. I think he's onto something.
A constant calf workout. It makes perfect sense when you think about it. Like, the reps you're not even counting, they count. And you guys, I mean, you have great calves. And I've been very complimentary of your calves. Yes. For years. They're fantastic.
Adam's got some power calves. We had who was in last week? The crazy Hawaiian, who's 384. His weren't all cut up, but they were gigantic. I will say this, though. I'm going to give myself a little bit of credit. When I was a young tyke, I was like 20. I had calves, too. I had a 42-inch vert. Okay, maybe it wasn't 42-inch. But like when I weighed 170, I still kind of had them. But the big fella calf principle put out by this TikToker, I was like, wow, I guess maybe he's onto something here. It's just all that bulk.
I think it needs to be studied. I think we should launch a study here on ESPN Radio and see what the large fella calf ratio is. Put it up on Twitter, guys. Get some calf photos up.
I heard TJ Otzelberger. I don't even remember that guy, the head coach of the Rebels, now with Iowa State. He would dispel that one. He would actually dispel that hard work does produce calves because he's got some massive ones, but he's a truck at like 5'9". So unrelated to anything we're talking about here today, get Coach Otz in there. Caleb, have a good holiday weekend. I know you got to work. I posed a question earlier. We only got a couple seconds. You got to pick one or the other, hot dog or fireworks?
I'm a foodie, so I'm going with hot dogs if they're made right.
There you go. All right, Caleb, we'll talk to you.
Take care, guys.
Holy moly. We're an hour into the show. I'm already anticipating a big four where I have to call an audible and blow it out. Something happened to Adam on the way to the show today. I can't believe to this point the way this has unfolded. Man, you really are famous.